Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
My job to bring you Truthful Tuesdays on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, every week. And so here I am. I am ready to work with you tonight. How you doing? I know you're doing great. We are live. We are alert, and we are aware. So we give thanks for this day. Thank you for being with us. I certainly appreciate you. And we have an extremely dynamic show scheduled for you tonight. Actually, it's a continuation from last week, and I'm going to share with you shortly how the universe always gives us exactly what we need. So, but you know, before we invite people into our house, Mama and them always told us there's certain things that you got to do. You got to get yourself ready. So here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, what we do, the first thing we do is we just let all the cares of today just melt away from us by anchoring ourselves in affirmative reading. And this comes from my daily inspirational post. It's at revsandy.wordpress.com. And today's message that I'm reading is called Free Stuff. Do you ever get those emails promising you tons of free stuff only to find it requires you to answer a ton of questions? I find it hilarious and usually do not finish, and therefore I never claim nor receive my free stuff, right? But it made me think seriously about real free stuff. And my list got longer the more I thought about it. So here is just a partial list. Number one, peace of mind. This is the best free gift that I can give myself. It does not accept my desire to have it. When my attention is focused on peace, then that is exactly what I receive. Even while I was in the midst of some people who appeared determined to be dramatic and in a bad mood around me, I did not attempt to change them or remove myself from their presence. But in the midst of the drama, I was smiling and felt this incredible peace in me. It seemed the more I smiled, the more dramatic they became. My smile was huge by the time this encounter was over. Number two, harmony of heart. I choose to be harmonious. I choose for my heart to be joyous and happy. My heart is my lifeline, and I protect it at all costs. I accept only harmony as my motivating force. I move in harmony with all life forms around me. There are a few cats that now roam my property. They just lounge on the lawn or in the driveway. I had never noticed them before now, but they are always around. I enjoy watching them stroll, never in a hurry. So they help me to slow down and relax. The cats seem to harmony at a much deeper level. My life, which is number three. This is the biggie. I say this as often as I can to remind myself and others of this awesome and incredible free gift of life. Just think about it. What have you done to earn an extra day of living? What deeds do you think are required of you to live a longer life? I prefer to truly, truly appreciate the time that I am given and to live it to the fullest. My time on this planet Earth may end today or tomorrow. And one thing I know for sure, I have not wasted any of my life in regret or not exploring my potential and purpose. It keeps changing, and so do I. So that's called free stuff. And you can find my daily inspirational messages at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And just to lift you up, every day is something new, something different. And the next thing that we do in preparation for these Truthful Tuesdays is we take time and we honor, we invite, we invoke the energies, the presence, and the love of our ancestors to be with us. And so, ancestors, we know that you're with us all the time whenever we call upon you, and we just want to make sure that we do that, particularly on Tuesday nights, because, you know, we talk about things that are not normally discussed amongst people. We take a whole different view on life here, on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And so we know that the energies and the love of our ancestors are so needed. So ancestors, y'all got me partying too. I thank you so much for always being with me, guiding me, and helping me. So we love you, we bless you, and we appreciate you, ancestors. Ashe, 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 yo. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So last week, we started the conversation on freedom, choice, power with the author of the book by the same title, Mr. Edward Phelps. And we kind of got through it, but we didn't really finish the conversation. And so the universe has just conspired to make sure that we have time to go back and to bring Mr. Phelps back on with us so we get to delve a little bit deeper into this, because it's so, so important that we get the message and that we understand what Mr. Phelps is relaying to us. And so, you know, the universe always got us, always, always. He had the time, and the regularly scheduled person for tonight had something, had an emergency to come up, and they could not do the show. And so, you know, we're always protected, and we need to make sure that we honor that and that we understand that. So Edward will be on with us momentarily. But I just want to let you guys know that you're welcome to be a part of this discussion. And we would like your comments to be form of a question, you know, so that Mr. Phelps can answer the question. It's okay to share, you know, your insights and what you have to say. But if we could at least get the questions in so that he can answer and perhaps dig a little bit deeper. So I really, really am so thankful is the word I'm going to choose right there. I'm indebted to Mr. Phelps for agreeing to be back on here with us again tonight. He's a very busy man, and for him to take 2 weeks out of his busy schedule to be with us is just truly, truly an honor. So you guys know, audience, that you're invited to join the discussion. All comments are welcome. Every voice is heard. There's never any judgment or, you know, not listening to what you have to say. So our call-in number here is 516 831-9819. You just simply press 1 on your dial to let me know you want to speak on air with us. And so we're going to be bringing on Mr. Phelps in just a moment. We're going to take a quick music break just to kind of get ourselves, again, set up for tonight's discussion. And, again, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. We actually call this Truthful Tuesday. So, you know, we cool like that. All right, we're going to take a quick music break. We'll be right back with you. Singers, but all of it must be that's all we needed to hear from them. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and thank you for being with us tonight. I wanted to play Respect Yourself because it's so is in alignment with what Mr. Phelps is talking about with his book, Freedom, Choice, and Power. And so I'm just going to recap a little bit about what we discussed last week, and then I'm going to have Mr. Phelps come on and introduce himself to you, and we'll take the conversation from there. So last week in our discussion, we talked about core beliefs and agreements, that those processes, the core beliefs and the agreements, condition our minds. and we are in this process, and they are being implemented into our thinking, into our minds, from kindergarten all the way through college and beyond, and that we are sometimes looking at or facing mental manipulations, and he'll kind of give you a little bit more information around that. And so we have, we talked about how do we get to a place of free thought, and that we should be able to define for ourselves what is success, what success looks like, and that a child get to name, no, I'm sorry, that is not that. So the name of the book is Freedom, Choice, Power, A Guide to Living Free. And Mr. Phelps opened up with an article that he had read from the Democratic Socialist of America. And just to explain and to draw this picture of how we're being manipulated by the media. And so without further ado, I want to bring on my dear friend, Mr. Edward Phelps, who is an author, he's a strategist, he's a website developer, he's an entrepreneur, he is a conscious, aware individual, and he helps us to really take a look at how our thoughts and how we move around in this universe and how that's not completely controlled by ourselves. And so, Edward, are you on the line with us?
I am. Hi, Sandy.
Hey, thank you for being back with us. I am so excited that you had this opportunity to join us again.
Well, likewise, my pleasure.
So
can
where
you
do
hear
we
me?
Start? I can.
Okay, okay.
You hear me okay?
Yeah, so, okay. Yes. So we left off last week just, you know, as you highlighted, just talking about things, essential fundamental principles to our personal freedom. You know, it all begins with a definition of freedom. What is freedom? And I think, you know, the interesting thing is without providing a definition, do we ever really ask ourselves, what do we mean by freedom? Because freedom is something that, you know, America is named for, the country that we live in is named for. It's something that most of us seek out in our lives, in relationships, at work, you know, in our broader society. We go to war over freedom, you know, killing other people
mm-hmm.
over it, literally.
Right.
But how often do we really take a moment to think about and ask and define, what do we mean by this word? What is it? Yeah. And it's interesting because to want freedom, one implies that you had it and it's now gone, right?
Mm,
and to want it means
right.
that it's something that you know about, that you feel at least that you know about, that you're missing now, right?
Right.
So what is that you're missing, you know? And so the book really helps you to get at what that is, you know, really, what is it? It helps you to go deeper on something that that we all, you know, kind of think about, talk about, even act on, but never really explore, never go deep into, never flesh out.
So would you say that not all, but some of the words that we're given to excite our energy are words that I don't want to use empty, but words that lack a true definition, as you're talking about, like on this freedom. And so, you know, we're all searching for it, but we're not really sure what it looks like and what it is. And so that kind of has us like running around in a circle.
Yeah, yeah. So language plays a role, definitely. What I would say in my experience, there are four words as an example of the power of words, and I'll relate this to my own personal sense of freedom.
Okay.
When there are four words I have taught myself not to use, and there are four words that for most of my life, you know, I use all the time, and that, you know, most people use all the time. The words are good, bad, right, and wrong. Very simple word: good, bad, right, and wrong. And I deliberately about 4 years ago now, a little more than 4 years ago, I deliberately taught myself to not just stop using these words. And it takes a lot of practice because we are so used to using those four words in so many different ways, in so many different situations. And the reason I did it is because I knew that by not using those words, I would have to communicate what I meant by those words. Right?
Okay.
So,
right.
The example I give is I was going to teach my daughter baseball. No, if I were going to teach her football, right? But I showed up with a baseball bat, a ball, and a glove, right? And I'm going to teach her football. The common language that we would use to describe what I showed up with is you brought the wrong stuff.
Exactly.
And that was
right.
Bad. Right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And what I learned, because I've had situations literally like that, and we all have, if we look closely in our lives, you know, anyone listening right now, if you just think about this, we've all had situations where whatever it is we're trying to do, we don't have all of the quote-unquote right things that we need. I mean, there are countless things in my career, for instance, when I was starting out and I decided, well, this is what I want to go do. Well, when I was starting out, I didn't have all of the right things in place, you know, but I had to figure out how to do it anyway. Right. And so back to the example I gave, I'm going to teach you football, but I show up with a baseball, a bat, and a glove. Well, I can still teach you the game of football. I can use that glove as a football, and I can still teach you, go about teaching you, you know, how the game's played, what the score is. And what I realized was, so it's not that it's wrong, because I can still teach you. It's not that it's bad, because I am teaching you, you know, teaching you how to score, that it's a touchdown, and you know, and it's 7 points, you know, 6 points, and you do an extra point for seven. I can still teach you the game. So it's not bad, it's not wrong. And then I thought about, well, what is it then? And I realized, well, it's just not the most effective. Right?
Okay.
It can still
okay,
be done,
right.
But it's just not, you know, it's not it'll go a lot better if I bought a football, because then I can show you how to throw it, and then you can actually get a feel for it, right? Playing on a football field, then you can, you know, everything spatially starts to, you know, to have context. But it doesn't mean that I can't teach you, you know, on a rooftop, in a living room, on a parking lot, or wherever. It's just, you know, everything in life we tend to look at left to right, you know, right, wrong, good, bad, these opposite, totally opposite polarities, right? But what I noticed is the truth of these things is they're just intensities. In other words, there's, it's like I said, I can still teach you the game, but it's going to be at a lower level of effectiveness than if I had all of the right stuff. But I would challenge to examine your life. And you have many times in your life and continue to overcome things like that and deal with situations like that and circumstances like that where you don't have all of the most effective stuff at hand, but you proceed anyway if it's something that you know you want to do. So what I've noticed is by not using those four words, and then the other aspect of those words that I came to realize is they are highly subjective. So in other words, yeah, it may not be, you know, good. It may be bad to bring a baseball bat and a glove for teaching someone to play football. But bringing those same things to learn about baseball, all of a sudden it's right. And it's the same thing, right? You know, it all of those words are always highly subjective in how we view them, in how we interpret them, et cetera, et cetera. They're also highly volatile and cause, you know, conflict. Because if I say it's bad and you don't agree, well, instantly we're at conflict.
Right.
So
right.
That's just an example of how, in terms of being free, recognizing these things opens you up to other possibilities. It takes a lot of stress off when you're not beating yourself up, or I bought the wrong stuff, right? I'm doing the bad thing, you know. Oh, my goodness,
right.
The years and the pain that I put on myself over the years holding on to these ideas, to these beliefs, to these agreements about things, these judgments of myself. And, you know, whether we admit it or not, it's your own personal business, but we all do that, and we're taught that, especially in the culture that we've grown up in.
Yeah, so, and it's heavy, you know, not just listening to you explain it. It's a heavy weight, you know, that we're carrying around, and we are being judgmental. And, I'm liking how you're breaking this down. Yeah.
All of the time. I mean, you know, if you're, you know, whatever faith you're, you know, you've chosen, you know, pretty much all of them have in some form the idea, judge not lest ye be judged. Right.
Right.
And yet.
Right.
And what I find hilarious is that in the, you know, the land that proclaims to be the most Christian on earth, one of the highest positions in its societal order is that of being a what? Judge. I mean, we've got a big fight coming up over becoming a Supreme Court justice, right? So in other words, there's all these fundamental, you know, spiritual commands, you know, ancient ideas telling you, warning you, judge not lest ye be judged. You know, he who lives in glass houses should not cast stones, right? You know, and yet we, at the very fabric of this society, we judge. We assign other people who, on the one hand, we say, oh, we're all free and equal, the power and authority to judge someone else. I mean, and we don't go deeply into this. We don't see the fundamental, right, flaw in that, right?
Yeah,
Right. Not to mention in our daily conversations, how we judge all the time. Now, here's the catch to all this. So now you're hearing me say, oh, well, he doesn't think we should be judging. Well, I'm a lot more pragmatic than that. I'm a lot more holistic than that. If we weren't supposed to judge, I have full faith and confidence that the Creator would have made sure that we couldn't. Okay? So we can. So clearly we're meant to judge. So what does the question become? And that's something I encourage everyone to look at deeply. Today, we don't look at much deeply at all. We go through our lives.
Right.
And we'll say it to one another. We'll say it to ourselves all the time. I just got to get through the day. I got enough on my plate. You know, that's over my head. That's too much. Yeah. Okay, that's one way to approach it. But I would argue that when it comes to the fundamental things, you have this power to judge. So therefore, to me, it is a part of your, you know, in wielding that power, it's not going to be very effective. You're not going to be effective at it if you don't go into understanding more about it. It's real simple. Mm-hmm. If you don't go a little bit deeper into it and you don't put some thought and time into, you know, okay, if I've got the power to judge, then what does this really mean? What is the true meaning of judge not lest ye be judged? What is it saying? You know, I've got some theories on it of my own, but that's not the point. The point is for you to go into it so that you can come out the other side, go through and come out the other side. You know, there's a saying I love now that I embrace, that the way to is through. And in my life, I'm seeing that to be true. You know, we look for the shortcuts. We try to go around and avoid the very deep, painful things in our life. But I've noticed that you never wind up any place that you're seeking to go until you go through something. And by going through it, it simply means you go into it. You confront it. You face it. And you deal with it, and you look at it, and you can't hide behind your judgments of it anymore. You know, you get into it. You know, and you go into it with your judgment. Oh well, it's this, that, and the other. And, oh well, it's that, this, and that. And that's your view at the time. But as you go into it and you start peeling back the layers on that onion, you will find yourself at very different understandings about that issue and that idea and your place in it and what you held on to that helped you, you know, keep that as an issue in your life. Because everything, I guarantee you, everything that is an issue in your life, all issues boil down to there's something about that thing that you want, that you are choosing to hold on to. Now, the reasons why, you know, that's up to you to figure out, right? But it's pretty simple, and it's universal, you know. You got an issue, you got something bothering you, it boils down to there's something you've decided to stay attached to hold on to, and you're not willing to release and let go. Let me be clear, that is not saying that holding on is good, bad, right, or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't hold on to it. What I'm simply saying is that is the root cause of your pain and your suffering. You know, that's the funny thing about the power to choose. That's how it works. You know, when you decide something's important to you, right? Let's look at a choice. Let's examine what is a choice for a second. You know, just fundamentally, again, objectively, taking away any of our valences on it, right? Well, a choice is simply are faced with some options, right? So how do you make a choice? Because the possibilities are literally infinite around any subject you can talk about. You know, that's why a lot of the greatest philosophers would say, well, you know, you can debate anything, any perspective, point of view, infinitely. So the point, you know, so that's beside the point, right? So then choice in its essence is infinite. Well, then how do we narrow it down? How do we make a choice? It's pretty simple. For example, if you believe killing is wrong, right? And you're right. Standing in front of someone who's, you know, annoying the heck out of you, and there's a gun on the table, picking up the gun and shooting this person in the head is not going to be a choice you're going to make because you don't believe that's
right.
quote unquote,
right. Right.
Okay?
Right.
However, that is a choice. Okay? That's a choice. Mm-hmm. That's one of the choices. There's a gun on the table. This clown over here is bugging the heck out of me. I can pick up that gun, blow their brains out. It's an option. I'm just saying, right? You know.
Right, right.
But it's the key here is to embrace your power, is to embrace how you're thinking. Literally narrows down the realm of possibilities. Notice where I'm going with this. Well, if the realm of possibilities gets narrowed down, you could describe that as your freedom is being narrowed as well. Right?
Right.
And it's all done by your thinking. You can choose to think differently. You could choose to say, you know what, it doesn't bother me killing somebody. I'm going to pick the gun up and get this person to, you know, stop talking, you know.
right.
You literally have that power. So in all these things in our lives, in all many, many things, and I've lived this stuff, by the way. I mean, you know, I'm just speaking to you from my own experience, which is all I can do. And that's why when people talk to me about the book, does it have the answers for what I'm going through? I'm like, no, but it can help you down your road, right? You know, it can on when you step off the cliff to new understandings, and that's what it's like. It's like being on a dark road and you can't see a step in front of you. And so if you're going to step, it's going to be totally on faith because you cannot, there's no way for you to know what's coming up next, right?
Right.
So what the book can be is a lamppost on that road, right? And you know what a lamppost does on a dark country road, right? It lights up a little section of the road, just enough to show you, oh, okay, there's some road there, right? I don't know how far it goes, but there's some road there. I can go at least that far. It can help you along your path, right?
Mm-hmm. That is... because, you know, as you're explaining this, I was really working mentally on not using the words good, bad, right, and wrong. And that is a real mental exercise to put that in place because, you know, of course, when you're talking about the gun on the table and shooting somebody, oh, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. You know, that's bad.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, right. And so I see.
So how else are you
going
to describe it?
I hadn't gotten that far.
You
see
what I mean?
I'm listening to
right. No, that's exactly the point. I mean, in other words, so you're in the room, I'm over here, and I'm going, Sandy, I'm going to pick up that gun and throw this person's brains out if they don't stop talking. You know, and you're like, Ed, and to your point, the first thing you want to say is, well, don't do that. It's wrong, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So how do you convince me? How do you communicate your idea to me without using that word? And what I guarantee you happens is what you end up saying is a lot more effective. You know why? Because it's non-judgmental. Because whatever you say to describe it now, it is not something that I can choose to take as a judgment of me.
Right, right.
But when you say it's wrong, then you know, I can take that as an affront. What do you mean wrong? I don't think it's wrong. You know, and off we are into an argument and a conflict.
Yes, yes.
And to your point, it takes some thought to figure out how you're going to communicate what you're feeling without using that word, one of those words.
Which can be a good thing, because sometimes, you know, we're real quick.
There you go.
Right, right.
Which can be a good thing.
Whether we're observing or what have you, right?
That's right. But that's an exercise. That's something that, for me, has really changed my life. That and really working on living by the four agreements. You know, Don Miguel Ruiz's four agreements is my Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that's my Bible of life. I mean, you know, speak with integrity. Don't make assumptions. Don't take anything personally, and always do your best. Four very simple sentences. Living by them is a life journey.
It is truly.
But a powerful one, a very powerful one, and a totally transformational one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all I do every day. You know, and there are people. I guarantee you, there are people in my orbit who would argue with varying degrees of success, right? But I work at living by those four agreements.
Right.
You know, they have truly transformed my life already. You know, just in helping me arrive at understandings about all of this stuff.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the main thing for me that I've discovered is just that it is important for us to what we choose to put our attention on, because everything in this world is designed to and you know, its purpose is to capture your attention. And so when we don't put our attention on fundamental things like, you know, what is freedom? What is it? So if it's something I want, let me at least go into it and understand and define it for myself. Notice what I said.
Exactly.
For myself.
Right.
Not what does my mom say, what does my girlfriend say, what does my guy friend say, what does my church say, what does the so-and-so's great book say. No, for myself. You know. One of the most powerful things I remember from the TV show Roots many years ago that just stuck with me even back then is it began by the father holding up the baby, and it's based on an African tradition that I was able to verify when I went to Ghana and to other parts of Africa. Part of their spiritual approach to newborn babies, hold the baby up to under a starry night, right, to the heavens, and testify, behold, the only thing in the universe greater than yourself.
Mm.
And we don't get that. We don't get that.
Right, right.
That,
exactly.
You know, you're born an individual to live individually, and the secret is that you are all you got, and guess what? you need.
I like that.
You know, because the Creator has got your back. You know.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And so
that's a beautiful thought too.
If that's true, you know, right? If you go into that deeply, if you put some real attention on that, because anyone listening has got questions about, you know, what does that mean for me? Wow, that, you know, that's deep. What does that mean, right? And if you go into that, you're going to come out to your own understandings about yourself that are very different from the ones you have now. And it's going to change the nature, your idea, and what you accept and understand as the nature of what we call relationship. Right? On all levels, relationship between you and the Creator, relationship between you and other life on this earth, including people. But, you know, an even broader relationship. I mean, don't. We go out and we look at birds. I mean, one of the things I did the other week, I was at the grocery store near me, and I don't go there often. But long story short, there's this big parking lot out front. It's a Publix, and there's a high retaining wall on one side of the parking lot. And I was in my car, just kind of tidying up my list of the items I had to get. And I don't buy food at Publix. I buy household goods at Publix. I eat mostly organic, so Publix isn't where I go to get food. But I was there to get some paper towels and things like that, you know, household things. And I was tidying up my list. And because of how I am now, in terms of I feel things around me, I pay attention to things around me, I heard all this bird chatter, you know, the bird chirping, lots and lots of bird chirping the whole time I'm sitting there. And so I just looked out my window, and lo and behold, it turned out that this retaining wall was a nesting ground for sparrows. And so there were literally hundreds of sparrows flying in and out of the wall, and I'm sitting in my car, and I'm looking to my left, and I see this bird fly up, perch himself on the wall with something in his mouth, stick his head in, and lo and behold, these two little beaks stick out and grab the thing out of his mouth, right? So my point being that most of us are walking around every day. You pull up a Publix, you make your list, get out the car, go get your stuff, get back in the car, go. You never even notice. There's birds all around. You know, there's a bird's nest in that wall. When they're talking about tearing down the Publix, you won't even go, well, what's going to happen to all the bird's nests? You know?
Right.
We have so detached ourselves and think of ourselves as somehow separate from, you know. And it's really kind of – I find it interesting because – we're on this earth. There's only one planet that we're on, and it has all this stuff on it. Birds, insects, you know, spiders, which I'm not too fond of, roaches, you know, caterpillars, mosquitoes, you know, all this stuff, worms and fish and you name it, you know. We share this world with these other creatures.
Yeah.
We don't really look at it that way.
Right.
And we don't get how powerful and unempowering and how out of order that is, right? Now, is that a judgment that I'm saying that that's out of order? Well, I don't look at it as judgment because I'm not saying it meaning you're good, bad, right, or wrong by doing it or by not doing it. What it is to me, though, why I say it's out of order is simply because when you look around, there's us and the key word and there's all these other creatures on this planet. Period. That's the way it is, you know. And so if we're ignoring that And if we're casting that in any other light, it just makes sense to me that that's somehow out of the most harmonic sense of order that's present, right? And
right.
We see the effects of that, by the way. We see the effects of that. We're polluting the earth. We've got an ozone layer problem, you know.
The
polar ice caps are melting, you know, the fish are dying, and, you know, bird species are going away left and right, among other things, right?
Yeah, because they don't have real food to eat.
Well, we destroy habitat and all kinds of other things, right? So, Now, on the flip side of that coin, right, and I like to use the coin analogy for all things in life. Everything in life, whatever it is, when you make a choice and you choose this side of anything, the other side is instantly also born, right, and exists, right? So If you come to an intersection in a road and you go left, guess what? That means you didn't go right, and right exists. You know,
correct.
You can't have left without right. You can't have up without down. You can't have front without back. You know. And what's interesting is, you know, our brains. We live our life. One of the ways I like to put it is, we live our life in our minds, and so our keyword for everything in life is or, this or that, you know, good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, left or right. But life's keyword is and, because there is this and that, there is good and bad, there is up and down, right? So, and that's just observational. There's no rocket science behind that, right? You know, life definitely deals with all of it, right? So,
yeah, and it seems like the and is more inclusive than the or. Like the or is a judgment, you know, like.
Yeah, it's.
But I like.
And it's.
Yeah.
It's somehow trying. And again, it's like we deal with everything left and right instead of up and down, right?
Right.
And intensities. You know, we're choosing sides instead of realizing that there's this intensity. There's a time and a place for everything. Back to my example about picking up the gun and shooting the person who's annoying me by talking, right? Well, right. That's not something that I would choose to do. On the flip side, right, if someone's coming up to me or my daughter and threatening their life, guess what? I'm going to take you out without any regrets, and that's the time and the place to do it, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm going to do anything I can to defend myself and protect my child. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by, you know, the absolute, well, killing is wrong. Well, you may choose to believe that, but I guarantee you, I'm not going to go there with you when someone is threatening my life or the life of someone else, and I'm there to prevent that, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, these things are not, you know, we tend to deal left and right absolutes, but in reality, there's just degrees and intensities, right?
Because
life has
right.
all of this stuff. All this, our lives, it exists, right?
Yes.
It is. So.
Whew,
I'll stop
you
there.
You have given us so much, to think about. And, you know, one of the things I did, I wrote down the word judgmental just because I'm making notes, right, of the conversation. And for the first time ever, I'm looking at this word, and there's judge on one side and mental on the other. And I'm like, wow.
That's right.
You know,
because
yeah,
it's all in your head, because it only exists in your head.
Yeah, that's
right.
You like, whoa.
That's right.
I enjoyed that, and I wanted to share that with you. So, audience, I know that you're going to purchase the book, Freedom, Choice, Power, by Edward Phelps, and it's a guide to living free. And it is available on iBooks, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, K-O-B-O. So if you have any questions, if you're not already called in, the number is 516-531-9819. You would push 1 to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. And this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and we have Freedom, Choice, Power with the author of said book, Edward Phelps. He's now for his second discussion, and it has just been extremely powerful tonight. And so I know for me, I'm just going through this exercise of not using or looking at it differently and eliminating good, bad, right, and wrong from my thoughts. And that's going to relate to what comes out of my mouth. But I just think it's an awesome way to look at life. And so we have the freedom, but we got to define it, and we get to define it for ourselves. And choice are endless possibilities. And with that comes the power. And so we've got our first caller, and I believe that's my nephew Ali that's on there. Ali, is that you?
All day long. Yes, ma'am. I'm calling because you know me. I'm over here looking out the window, ain't Sandy, listening to you, and I'm a calling. The real Mr. Phelps, you know, and cause there's a lot of Mr. Phelps out there, you know what I mean, but they ain't talking about self.
Right, I'm
they're
not
bringing self. Yeah, I ain't talking about him too, but he can't compare to you, man, because he's not using this platform to really talk about self-awareness and things and exercises that you can do to have a good life. I know what you mean, and I appreciate you because I live this life every second. I don't let a second go by that I don't think that I have power to be able to create good energy around me every second. You know, it's not a joke, and people don't understand that, you know. And so I keep going. You know, I don't let nothing stop me. You know, I don't like some of them words you were saying. I don't claim bad thing. People say, oh, man, how's your day going so far? I said, man, my day is great. Really? The heat is not bothering you? I'm saying, man, don't you know I am so grateful to be here to feel the heat? This is wonderful, man.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is wonderful. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Well, you know, I don't want to talk long because I know you said it all, and I like to listen to you because, you know, I'm still – you know, a little wet behind the ears, and you know, and as a youngster man, I just want to be able to hear, and then to make sure that you're heard, and so less talking helps me do that. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you. Very much appreciate that.
So Ali is calling from San Diego, California. And
nice.
He's one of our
yeah.
So he's one of our regular listeners, and he does allow himself to be outside the box, you know, not confined to the regulations of you know, the social media type of control thinking. That's what I call it. You know, like everybody has the same thought and the same view, and you'd be like, come on, you know, give me something that's individual to you, you know. And because I've known people like that, you know, you ask them a question and they'll be like, well, my religion says, I'm like, okay, but what do you say? So not looking at it as deeply as you have, Edward, you know, with going through this whole process of the freedom, choice, and power, but just wanting to know what that person, who that person is, and them not being able to fully share themselves. So I really get what you're saying. And I know that there are a lot of people that when you ask what their individual description or words that they would use to, you know, like you said, what, when you were asking me, so what would you use in place of good, bad, right, and wrong? And I was like, oh, man, I got to really work on this. You know, and so it's a process that to unlearn what we've learned up until this point. So I appreciate the exercise tremendously, and I'll be working on that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fascinating one, and it does transform you. It helps you to see things very differently than you did before. And it disempowers you to make different choices. It helps you to see the choices, A, that you've made so far that you didn't even know you had made. And then it helps you to, you know, look at them and say, well, is that choice something I want to continue with, or do I want to do this instead, kind of thing, right? And so it's very powerful stuff.
Right.
But it does take work. Yes, it takes work.
And I like the fact that it will slow you down to really connect with your energy, you know, like what am I really wanting to say? What message am I conveying by the words I'm about to allow to pass my lips, you know? And because I believe a lot of times we may talk mindlessly or unconsciously and just, you know, let stuff come out and not really think about what we're sharing with the other person or with the world. So it is going to be quite an adventure. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, there's
though.
A passage. I read a spiritual I like to call him a spiritual pundit because I think of him as a jokester, almost, as a spiritual, you know, guru who's just messing with you the whole time. But his name was J. Krishnamurti. I found Krishnamurti and his writings because I read Deepak Chopra. And when I read somebody and when I choose to, you know, to let their ideas into my consciousness, one of the things I go do some research on, I said, well, let me look up who he read and who inspired him when he was starting out, right? And one of the key people, you know, two of the people that were very paramount in Deepak's formations, one of them was Alan Watts, and the other was J. Krishnamurti. So there's a passage in one of his books. This book is titled The Book of Life, and it's composed of these little excerpts of some of his lectures, writings, organized into a daily calendar. So there's one for each day, and they covered a range of topic area. And this one is dated July 18th, and it's titled Real Education, right? So I'll give you a taste of J. Krishnamurti, if you don't mind.
Sure, please do.
The mind creates through experience, tradition, memory. Can the mind be free from storing up, though it is experiencing? You understand the difference, right? What is required is not the cultivation of memory, but the freedom from the accumulative process of the mind. You hurt me, which is an experience, and I store up that hurt. And that becomes my tradition. And from that tradition, I look at you. I react from that tradition. That is the everyday process of my mind in your mind. Now, is it possible that though you hurt me, the accumulative process does not take place? The two processes are entirely different. If you say harsh words to me, it hurts me. But if that hurt is not given importance, it does not become the background from which I act. So it is possible that I meet you afresh. That real education in the deep sense of the word. Because then, though I see the conditioning effects of experience, the mind, my mind, is not conditioned. So you know, Krishna Murthy, man, he, you know, I do not recommend him for folks starting on their journey, because he'll have you throwing the dagger on top. Say, I just keep on with what I got. You know, because he takes you down. I mean, he literally has you, you know, you will be questioning everything. And your mind, your ego will I'll tell you where your mind will take you when you read him, if your mind, if you haven't trained it, you know, is right to the place where you will start to just become agnostic about all of it. The mind will just say, yeah, you don't need to believe any of that crap. You know, don't believe me. You know, it's really interesting. So, but it's very introspective, deep observation on some of the simplest things. So anyway, I thought I'd put that out there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Because you know what happens is that, and I know I'm thinking, you know, like I'm remembering some of the situations that that I've been actively involved in, and I like to sometimes talk about, you know, like the young males, and you know, wearing their pants, you know, sagging and their butts out and stuff like that. And so I know I've made comments in the past that I would ask certain members, you know, like, so why are you doing that? You know, like, what does that signify? What does that mean to you? And they wouldn't have an answer. And, you know, so I would have had conversations sparked by that. But it's the same thing like you were just saying, though. You know, like, I could do that with some of the things that I say. It would be the same pattern to use, you know. So what do you mean by that, Sandy? And why do you say what you say? And it helps to, I think, to give a clearer message, to deliver what you have to say, where people do understand what you're saying, without it being so wordy or flighty or acceptable, that, you know, you're using words that you think are acceptable to the person versus just being authentic with what you have to say. So this is really making me stop and think. Yes.
Right. And when you're not, and we do these things, we are inauthentic. We, you know, in terms of the four agreements, we do not speak with integrity so often. And then we wonder why we have the conflict in our lives and the stress and the pain that we have.
Ooh.
You know? We wonder why. Well, why me? You know, what did I do? You know, but did you express your true intentions? No, because they wouldn't. You know, we have all these reasons and rationales.
Right.
At the end of the
right.
day, it, you know, how is anyone going to accept you as you are, if you're not telling them as you are, if they and they have no other way of knowing except by what you tell them, they can't read your mind. I tell people all the time when they ask me these questions, you know, that crystal ball I got, it still ain't working. It's never worked. It don't work. I need to take that thing back. It doesn't work. You know, I can't read your mind. I can only go by what you tell me. So if what you're telling me that you think about what you think and feel is not the truth about what you think and feel, because you don't want to hurt my feelings, or for whatever reason you conjure up to justify you not speaking your true intention, well, then you realize that everything the other person is doing toward you is based on that lie about yourself you told.
Wow.
Because
wow.
They got nothing else to go on.
True.
to.
But we don't think of it like.
Well, we don't think of much. I like to say we don't think much at all, you know, and that's a part of our.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to what you were saying about our need for speed. And one of the things in my technology professional world, you know, one of the big things is multitasking. And in my professional space, I've talked to major corporate clients about, you know, I'm on a call and this. Well, you're gonna have to multitask to get that one done. And I'm like, that's something I don't do well, and I don't do multitasking. I said, so it's gonna take me about a week to get back to you on that. They're like, well, you need to get better multitasking. You know, and I don't explain to them why I don't do it, but I do let them know, I won't be multitasking. I will set aside some time to put my full attention on that, you know, question problem, and I'll get back to you. What I realized a while back is multitasking is simply partial attention on multiple things.
Okay,
that's all it
okay.
is. And the other thing I realized a long time ago is you never are doing anything. Anything you do really well requires your full focused attention, period.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. And so when you map that out to our world today and you have people, you know, the majority of the outputs we see in the world come from partial, fragmented attention and focus. And then you wonder why the quality of everything is so crappy and lacking any deepness and depth and, right? I mean,
right.
That's why. I mean, in other words, that's what I mean by just going into things and seeing the world as it is. I mean, I have been guilty of being in situations, putting myself in situations, and convincing myself they were one way because that's what I needed them to be, and totally ignoring what was actually happening.
Okay.
All that was going on in my head and getting played out in real life, right?
Yeah.
And I'll confess, these are personal relationship situations as well as professional ones, right? And we do this. You know, we do this.
Yes.
We go into things with our agenda, right, our desires and wants, and we spend our lives seeking to have, you know, to get and have what we want, instead of, which is all ego, right? That's all ego. And that's the way we live our lives, you know, in pursuit of what we want, as opposed to a lesson that I'm still learning is wanting what you have. And here's the power in wanting what you have. If you believe in a truly loving, you know, supportive creator, God, Allah, Buddha, whatever, you know, whatever faith you're from. But if you believe that the Creator is truly loving and supportive and omnipresent and all things, well, then it makes perfect sense that, you know, it's got your back, right? It's there. So then anything you have at the moment is something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Even if
yes.
here's the key to this now. Here's the real secret to this. Even the times that are really shitty, I said it.
Yeah, right.
Even
right.
those times that are really, really shitty, right? If you can keep that open mind and with a faithful heart, knowing that this is not about destroying me. So then and then be open and observant and listen and introspective and deep about it. There are lessons. There are wonderful anecdotes in every situation that you're in. Always something to be grateful for. Always. And, you know, now, I meet people all the time. They say, show me a miracle. And my response is, show me something that isn't.
That's true. That's true. Love it. Especially this phenomenon we call life. I think that's, you know, we talk about the seven wonders of the world. I'm like, are you serious? The first thing on the list should be a child, a person, you know, that's created from these mechanisms that, you know, you can't even see with the naked eye. And it becomes a full-born person in 9 months on the inside of a belly. That's incredible. I'm still in awe of that whole process.
Yeah, it's very telling that, to your point, you know, one of the things, you know, back again, if you use the Christian example, you know, one of the sayings of Christ, and I'm paraphrasing, is just, you know, don't worship false idols, right? And
right.
And to your point, and yet the seven wonders of the world are all man-made false idols.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
We build statues to honor, you know, to pay homage to men instead of, we do the false idol thing all day long. You know, we name streets after crooked men, you know. It's just, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got enough money, you can get a street, you know, we'll name a street after you, you know. It's just,
right.
You know, yeah, I mean, we do the worshiping and exalting each other kind of thing all the time. And yet, you know, that's something that, you know, it's been said, don't do, right? So.
Right. Yeah, I'm
just saying.
Amazed with some of the way we do things. No, I'm agreeing with you. So your purpose in writing the book, Freedom, Choice, Power, was to what? To help people to look at how they view their existence differently. To help people to understand that they have choices. What was your reasoning behind writing the book?
Just to give people a simple to understand, clear lamppost on their road to self-discovery and to understand what freedom is in their life and how they can access it and unlock it. That's it, very simply, you know, because that path of just opening up, if, first of all, the book is only going to resonate with people who have asked some questions, some deeper questions about their life, right? It's only going to make sense to someone who has chosen that path for themselves, right? So then you do need some help. You know, George Carlin, the comedian, had a funny bit on self-help books. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, what's all this hoopla about self-help books? If you did it yourself, you didn't need help. You did it yourself, you know. You know, so what I have found is in all the reading I've done, the books were light posts on my own road. And some of them were really good at letting you know, letting the reader know that, you know, all I'm here to do is to open you up. You got to walk down the road yourself, you know. Can't help you with that, right? But the book, the purpose is simply to serve as a guide on your journey. When you start asking yourself some of the essential questions, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? And you really want to know, and you go into that, and you're not going to assign it to a belief or something you know in your mind, you know, that you've already accepted. You know, you're not going to look for it in a church. You're not going to look for it with a friend. You're not going to go see a shrink, you know. You're going to go inside yourself, and you're going to have faith. And you're going to explore, you know, you're going to kind of open the door and look around, you know, turn on your flashlight, and for the first time probably in your entire life, take a look around in this, inside this thing you call you, you know, yourself.
Hmm. Wow, wow.
And the book is just a little guide, you know, for one part of that, to help you go along one part of that journey. And, it, and you know, if it can help anyone, and what I'm most pleased with, you know, about it is, it's not a bestseller on the New York Times list, but it has touched, I've gotten several, this book has really changed my life, comments
yeah.
from readers. And, you know, why did I write it? Just to help one person. Because what I realize is that's being of service. You know,
yeah.
we
yeah.
today, we everything has to be a product, which actually, which, you know, fundamentally, at its at the core energy level, destroys anything pure if it's got to be a product and sold, you know. And so that's an interesting dilemma because I'm a marketing guy, and I deliberately don't sell my book. I do things like that. I'll talk about it. I hold meetups, you know, to and at my meetups, the whole idea is just for people to bring their perspectives and just lay them out and examine them, not get them judged. I'm not going to sit there like I got an answer for you, but it's about lay it out. I'll share my perspective, and that's it, you know, and you have to go away and hopefully with some other ideas that you may not have had on your own, right, and continue
right.
your work and find your answers, right, because that's really how it works, you know. But most of us never, ever start that journey. And if we do, we don't, we're so into our minds and our beliefs and our ideas that we don't realize that we do it through that lens, right?
Mm.
Which is not doing it at all, quite frankly. You know, if we're Christian, we seek the answers in the Bible and through that lens. And the whole point is, if you're Christian, fine. Put the Bible down and go inside yourself. Right?
Right, right.
Go inside
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly.
Trust. If you believe in God, let you know that old saying, let go and let God, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But don't rely on the crutches and whatever they are. We all have different crutches in our life, you know. But whatever they are, let those go and just, you know, be alone in that divine sense of the word alone. Because in the divine sense of the word, alone simply means with God.
Right, right.
It's just you and God.
That's very powerful.
And that's,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being alone spiritually and being alone physically and emotionally. And we tend to conflate the two.
Yeah, I like that, and I would agree with you. It may or may not be a proven fact, but I would venture to say that there are more people that have not and will not and probably choose not to go that deep within themselves to ask those questions. But what you've done is you provided a platform that honors every individual that come into your presence, you know, with your meetup groups and with your book, because your book does not say this is the answer, this is the way to do it, but it's honoring the individuality of each person. And that's what's so unique about the work that you do, is that you don't pretend or, you know, puff yourself up that you got all the right ways to do things and the right answers, but you allow a person to feel respected because they get to say for themselves who they are, what they are, and what the words mean for themselves. And that's really important. That's really important in this society where everybody's always telling you, you know, what you're supposed to do and feel and answer and react to, you know, certain situations. So I applaud you on that. That's profound.
Yeah, you know what I find most interesting, Sandy, too, is that, you know, we I've had to learn how to allow that space to recognize that my opinion and my thinking is just that. My opinion and my thinking.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
You know, and once I did that, I was able to, I've learned how to listen more. I can listen more because and not get defensive and not get, you know, judgmental and all of that. I can just listen openly much
right,
more now.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's a different, that right there is a different life. That's a whole different world. When you're able to hear other people and just be comfortable in your space and non-judgmental about theirs, it's, you could pick up so many things about yourself and about them that you don't get when you're listening through your lens.
Right.
That ain't right.
Right.
And that's wrong.
Exactly.
And, you know,
yeah,
that ain't good and that's bad, you know, and all of that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, sir, we're down to the last couple of minutes of the radio program for tonight. And again, I am so thankful to the universe for conspiring to make this happen tonight, to have you back on. I know it's been a deeper conversation for me, and it provides me with additional tools, which I know you have in the book, that I'm urging the listeners to purchase and to work through. It's called Freedom, Choice, Power, A Guide to Living Free with author Edward Phelps. And so, Ed, I want to let you have the last 90 seconds or so and close out with whatever closing thoughts you may have for the audience.
Sure. So one thing I mentioned, the meetup groups, the meetup group is called Wisdom for All. So if anyone, I'm putting up the next couple of events here tomorrow, actually. So if you're on meetup, just check out Wisdom for All and feel free to stop by anytime. I'm working on the next book. It will be a 3-part series, and it is on integrity. And I'll leave it at that. The rest will be kind of a surprise, but it is. I'm really enjoying the writing of this one. It's the research is interesting. The meditations are very profound, and yeah, I look forward to releasing that. My goal is to have it written up by the end of October.
Okay.
And I would like to release it for the new year. So.
Excellent. Well, we support you in that. And again, we thank you for being with us and for sharing so freely of your gifts and for honoring each of us by not telling us what to do.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Phelps. Thank you so much, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, right?
Oh, sure.
So that's our show for tonight. I appreciate all of you for being with us. Ali, thank you for sharing your point of view. And we will see you next Tuesday at the same time. Thanks. I love you guys.
Bye.